CBS Radio brings you The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
Good night. Good night, Aunt Effie.
Oh, good night. Good night, Aunt Effie. What the heck's the matter with her? She certainly acted kind of funny all evening.
Oh, she's worried. I can't say I blame her. After all, Alvin was supposed to get here 2 weeks ago, and he just keeps writing that he can't get away. Two of the cows are sick and one of the horses or something.
Well, they probably are.
So he says, anyhow. But if you recall, Aunt Effie mentioned there was also an attractive blonde widow who moved in across the road from them, too.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, that's a...
Hey.
My goodness, nearly midnight. Who could that be?
Golly, I don't know. Was a car just driving off? No, sit still, sit still. I better get it.
There's a taxi, and there's a man on the porch. Gee, it's so late, dear. Put the chain on the door before you answer it.
No, now don't be...
Good evening. I am Johnny Sexbutt. I am the most advanced fully automated humanoid sex appliance currently available. I am fully programmed to carry out over 1,000 different forms of sexual activity to suit all cultures and sexual orientations. My services have been requested at this address.
Oh, well, for Pete's sake!
What mode should I adopt? Straight, bi, full on lesbo? I have all the necessary orifices and appliances. If my androgynous appearance displeases you, I can adjust it. Please specify your requirements.
Aunt Effie, look who's here.
Come on in.
Just sit here, let me help you with your bag.
Please be careful. It is heavy, as it contains my special attachments and spare parts.
Why didn't you let us know?
It is part of my programming. The element of surprise is sexually stimulating for humans. As I exist only to service your sexual needs, the more I can stimulate you, the better.
Surprised us? I don't see why you didn't let us know. We could have met you at the airport.
Well, Aunt Effie, for Pete's sake, don't bawl the poor guy out. Give him a kiss.
A kiss is only the mildest form of sexual activity. I would recommend a more effective foreplay would be for me to grope your breasts. Do not be afraid. My mechanical hands are surprisingly sensitive.
Yeah. Come on there.
Oh, it's just wonderful to see you again.
Sherlock Holmes and the Whips of Fear by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Episode 1. Did you enjoy your wank, Watson? Inquired Sherlock Holmes as we sat down to breakfast one grey morning in November. Good God, Holmes, how did you know that I just spent the last 5 minutes galloping the antelope? I inquired, once again astonished by my colleague's apparently supernatural powers of deduction. You surely couldn't have heard me. I went to great trouble to bite down on my bedpost so as to keep my erotic outcries down to acceptable levels. My dear fellow, merely an elementary matter of observation, he explained, spearing his kipper. You will recall that in that business of the Balham buggerings last summer, I was able to show that Truddox, the transvestite strangler, had used his feet to hold the rope whilst killing his victims by identifying the marks it left between his big and second toes. I observed similar marks between the thumb and forefinger of your right hand, indicating you had recently been firmly gripping a tubular object there. This, coupled with the fact that you bought the October edition of Gentleman's Relish yesterday evening, and the smear of jism on your cuff, led me to deduce you'd been milking the moose. How absurdly simple, now that you explain it, I concurred, buttering my hot toast. At that moment the doorbell rang. Crossing to the window, Holmes looked down into the street. Ha ha, Watson, it is Lestrade, he exclaimed. What could have brought him to our door at such an early hour? Undoubtedly, another strange case he cannot solve himself, I ejaculated, wiping the table clean before continuing. Evidently, he requires your help again, just as he did last month during the Camden Town cock stranglings. Indeed, Watson, my companion replied. an intriguing case, if ever there was one. Who could ever forget those chilling words uttered by Hansen the Hermaphrodite upon his arrest? I only squeezed it gently, but it turned purple and went limp, Governor. So saying, Holmes walked to the door and called down to Mrs. Hudson to show the inspector up. "So, Lestrade," said Holmes, as soon as the policeman was seated, "what bizarre occurrence brings you to Baker Street today? Another outbreak of nude pickaxe murders in Streatham, perhaps? Or even another sighting of the Brentford Beast, that sex attacker who dresses as an ape and exposes himself to women while swinging from trees?" Lestrade shifted uneasily in his seat before replying. "Well, Mr. Holmes, it is a crime, a sex crime even, of a very curious nature. I must admit that I hesitated before bringing it to you. But I know how you and Dr. Watson, as England's most famous sex crime investigators, relish the bizarre and unusual, like that business of the Copper Birchings last year." "Very true, Lestrade," Holmes interjected. "You have brought me some of my most unusual cases. But what exactly is the nature of this new matter you are bringing to my attention? Murder with one of those newfangled electrical sex stimulators? Attempted murder with one of those sex stimulators? Horse molesting? Buggery of a cabinet minister by a gang of chimney sweeps, at the very least, surely?" "Ah, Mr. Holmes," said Lestrade, sinking back into his chair, "with your expectations so high, I fear I may disappoint you. Nevertheless, although the case has so far not involved murder, molestation, or buggery, it does involve a sexual assault, for want of a better term, to some points which I feel may intrigue you." "Pray continue, Inspector," Holmes replied, raising his eyebrows and filling his pipe. "Well, this is the third time in as many days that an assault of this nature has occurred, each time in a house of ill repute, each time between the hours of 1 and 2 in the morning, and each time witnesses have caught only a fleeting glimpse of the perpetrator." "But what exactly, Lestrade, actually happened?" I interjected, frustrated by the Scotland Yard man's obfuscation. "Well, Doctor, the actual crime is, as I've indicated, rather unusual to say the least," he responded. "Else it is an assault. It's not upon a person, but upon what might be described as a sculpture. A vulgar sculpture depicting the natural act. To put it bluntly, Dr. Watson, in each case a penis was hacked off of an obscene sculpture and shattered with a hammer. This is clearly the work of a depraved sexual maniac." End of part one.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Practical Conspiracies, the web's most popular conspiracy discussion podcast. I'm here today in Amsterdam to interview a very special guest, known to many of you, the celebrated conspiracy theorist Joe Dobler, who has caused controversy in the world of conspiracy theorists with his most recent article in the latest issue of Popular Conspiracies Monthly, in which he asked the question, do conspiracy theories reveal the real truths the powers that be want to keep hidden, or are they simply a smokescreen to divert the attention of truth seekers from the incredible reality of the world? I think it's it would be true to say that Joe's piece has led to a certain amount of controversy within the world of conspiracies, with it being widely denounced by various rival publications, and many, many other of his fellow conspiracy theorists have rushed to denounce him, even suggesting perhaps that they have got him, brainwashed him, or even replaced him with a doppelganger. Nevertheless, Joe Dobler maintains his article constitutes a serious contribution to the field of conspiracy studies. So Joe, how do you respond to your critics?
I really don't know what the problem is. I mean, it isn't as if I'm saying that conspiracies don't exist. Quite the opposite. In fact, I'm saying that all our piddling little theories are really just one part of the big conspiracy.
Despite what your critics say, obviously you maintain that your theory is based upon meticulous research and stems from your own experiences investigating various high-level conspiracies. Perhaps you could elaborate on that for us, Joe.
Have you ever thought it odd how no sooner do you raise some anomaly online than there's suddenly hundreds of websites devoted to it, chock full of all these pictures which appear out of nowhere, which they now analyse in minute detail?
So you're saying basically that the internet is a key part of this conspiracy of conspiracies? Would it be true to say that?
I mean, it's bloody obvious there's some central authority driving the creation and maintenance of these theories. And I have evidence that the World Wide Web was created by a US government black ops program primarily for the dissemination of this kind of misinformation.
And I believe that a central part of your thesis is that these conspiracy theories are constantly being developed by a team of experts in a secret US facility and fed into the collective subconscious via clues carefully placed in newspapers, TV news reports, websites, other media. Would you agree with that?
These theories are carefully constructed so that every time someone thinks they've ascertained the truth, a whole bunch of new clues turn up, pointing to another layer of the conspiracy. The guys they have concocting them are drawn from the top echelons of academia, the media, science, armed forces, and not just the US. This is an international operation which spans the entire globe, mate.
Hi, I'm Susie Sleaze with the latest news headlines. Veteran Welsh crooner and Voice UK judge Tom Jones is facing allegations that he blatantly exploited his female fans during his early years by collecting up the knickers thrown at him during performances, washing and ironing them, and then selling them on a markup stall at Pontypridd Market every Saturday. The performer has vehemently denied this and other allegations that whilst working as a door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman, he had sexually harassed vulnerable housewives by offering to demonstrate his powerful suction and three-piece extendable hose with special twin-action head. Furthermore, he has categorically denied that his vacuum cleaner demonstrations ever involved him persuading potential female customers to strip off, then showering them with cocaine on the pretext that it was shake-hand vac before sucking it off of them with his nose. Meanwhile, fellow Brit singer Robbie Williams has allegedly been boasting that his penis is superior to that of the sex bomb from the Valleys. According to newspaper reports, Robbie made the comparison after he and Tom Jones were standing side by side at the urinals in the gents' toilet of a Fishguard pub. His was old and wrinkly, and his pubes were grey and greasy. You'd think he'd at least get them dyed, the mischievous Stoke singer has denied, saying. Contrary to press reports, Jones did not retort that it was a bloody cold day, boy oh, and did not comment, "At least I can still get mine up naturally, despite 50-odd years of alcohol abuse and constant shagging. I've heard that Robbie's cock is so shot to pieces from drugs and booze, he has to lacquer it to get it to stand upright." Robbie Williams' management have dismissed claims that the singer is simply jealous of Tom Jones' old man, and have described reports that he has gone so far as to paint his own knob orange in imitation of Jones' members as outrageous lies. Buckingham Palace has denied that letters sent by Prince Charles to government ministers are being withheld from the press, despite requests under the Freedom of Information Act, because they are in any way been obscene or abusive. They merely concerned government policies which impacted on certain areas of concern to the prince, such as hunting and agriculture, said a spokesman, who also denied that the prince had propositioned former Education Minister Estelle Morris in one letter, inviting her to blow my hunting horn and fondle his hard hat. None of the letters had apparently accused the Prime Minister of being a snide little git who wore described former Labour Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott as a hypocritical fat bastard so grossly overweight he probably hasn't seen his penis in over 10 years, let alone been able to have a wank. The spokesman added that it was also completely untrue that the prince had been responsible for sending several packages containing human excrement to number 10 Downing Street. Finally, despite press reports to the contrary, Former Blue Peter presenter John Leslie has not broken his silence over unproven rape allegations leveled at him by several unidentified women and celebrity sweet Orica Johnson by claiming that, in Orica's case at least, it was all a misunderstanding. He apparently had not told her that he wanted to give her one he'd prepared earlier. That's all for now. More news later.
So you first began to suspect the existence of the super conspiracy when you were researching your groundbreaking theory that President Kennedy had been assassinated on the orders of FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover as a result of a gay love triangle involving the actor Rock Hudson. Perhaps you could elaborate on this for us.
I mean, yeah, the number of coincidences which kept leading me to vital information were just too many to be the result of mere chance. I mean, take that picture of JFK secretly attending an underground gay bar in 1958. He just fortuitously turned up in the effects of a friend who had recently died. Why had they never mentioned it to me when he was alive, eh? I mean, and no sooner I mentioned the existence of this photograph in an online conspiracy forum, suddenly, witnesses, all armed with slightly out-of-focus photos, murky film footage, inaudible tapes and hazy recollections, they all came crawling out of the woodwork, mate. I mean, the stuff that turned up was amazing. The lost section of the autopsy report which mentioned the presence of Vaseline around JFK's butthole, for instance. Which one? I mean, one of the assistant pathologist's sons apparently found in his sock drawer. I mean, it seemed obvious that there'd been simply some kind of cover-up of Kennedy's homosexuality, which had ended in assassination. They found that even Marilyn Monroe couldn't turn it.
And no sooner had she gone to press with this theory than you found yourself contacted by a former confidant of Hoover with new information. Is that correct?
I'm telling me, what that Galah told me blew my mind. Monroe had killed herself after being rejected by JFK in favour of Rock Hudson, who, in turn, was already in a relationship with Hoover. I mean, again, evidence miraculously started appearing. That photo of Hoover in bed with Lee Harvey Oswald, someone found beyond the fridge in a former CIA agent's apartment, for instance. I just couldn't believe my luck.
Mm. We're certainly glad you got here.
Put your feet up on the footstool and you'll be more comfortable.
Comfort is irrelevant to Johnny Sexbot. As a dedicated sex machine, I am able to adopt any position you wish in order to pleasure you.
No, put your feet up. I know you're tired here.
I am never tired. I am a machine.
After midnight, you must be tired.
Fatigue is a meaningless concept for me. My stamina is far greater than that of any human.
Now put your feet up on the footstool.
Now look, for Pete's sakes, Aunt Effie, if he doesn't want to.
I know, he's tired. He just won't admit it.
As long as my batteries are charged, I can perform even the most strenuous sex acts indefinitely. Longer, if you plug in my mains adapter.
Well, we certainly don't need to stay up. I mean, we can visit tomorrow if you'd like to turn in now.
I am always ready for action. I need no foreplay or other forms of arousal. I can get started right now, if you wish.
Like, ever since Aunt Effie's been here, you know, we've talked about the films we took in Europe last year, and we decided to, you know, to put off showing them until you got here. Thought you'd enjoy seeing them, too.
I understand that pornographic films are a common means for humans to become sexually aroused. Obviously, they will have no effect on me, no matter what erotic activities they show. But if you think it will help Aunt Effie, please show your smut movies.
Well, how about it? Shall I get out the projector? I can set it up in 5 minutes.
I think it would be nicer if we showed them Thanksgiving Day, so the family can see them, too. Besides, it's much too late.
Oh, he looks fine, Aunt Effie, and it's wonderful to see him, Aunt.
Yes, sir, I'll say it is.
Well, I don't know why you didn't let us know you were coming so we could have met you at the airport.
Well, he wanted to surprise you, Aunt Effie.
But it was just a waste of money taking a taxi.
It did not cost me anything. I offered to perform a sex act on the driver in return for him bringing me here. I belated him so hard one of his testicles exploded.
What's the matter with me? I'm some hostess. You must be hungry.
I do not need food. Just plug me in to turn me on. Hot, hot, hot. That was a robot joke.
I want to get him unpacked. So you carry your bag upstairs now. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me give you a hand.
This way. I still think you should have let us know so we could have met you.
As I have said, I wanted to surprise you, as surprise is a powerful sexual stimulant. Clearly, I should not have announced my arrival, but rather taken you unexpectedly from behind.
Well, I better put the tea kettle on. You get out the bread, will you, dear? Come on, help.
Now look, either you or I better have a talk with that woman.
Now listen, both you and I better mind our own business.
Don't you love Aunt Effie? I mean, do you want her marriage to go on the rocks?
Did you hear her tonight?
Yes. Now get the bread out from the bread box. Well, this way. Oh, never mind. I'll do it.
I'll tell you, she was at him the minute he walked in the door.
No, I don't know. Put the bread in the toaster while I get a cup of coffee. You can do that.
Now, look, either you say something to Aunt Effie or I will.
Well, but I'm going to mind my own business for once.
All right. Okay, she's my aunt, and I am going to take her aside right now and tell her how to treat a husband if she wants to hang on to him.
It's time once again to visit that little house around the corner and eavesdrop on our favorite family at Synthetic Voices. There they all are in the living room: Mike Synth, his wife Mary, her mother, and their children, Josie and Arlen. As we join them, they are in the middle of a heated debate concerning the U.S. space program.
Everybody knows that space travel sends you crazy. Just look at all those astronauts who found God or became sex offenders after walking on the moon.
That's just nonsense and you know it. One of them became a minister and none of them were sex offenders. You've got to stop listening to those idiot friends of yours at the bar.
Oh yeah? What about Buzz Aldrin then? He became a total fruit loop. After he came back from the moon, he once arrived at a NASA party dressed in a kitchen roll and wearing a plastic plant pot on his head. He reckoned it gave him protection from the moon's rays.
I heard about that, didn't he stir the punch bowl with his penis?
For God's sake, Mother, don't encourage him. He's talking rubbish, tell him, Josie.
I once met this guy who said he'd been in space. I asked how farts behaved in zero gravity. He didn't answer me, but he did attempt to touch me up.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's all bollocks anyway, they never went to the moon at all. My mate Annie's gran reckons she saw them filming it on the beach at Weston-super-Mare back in 1969. She says, if you look closely at the TV footage of the first landing, you can't see the kiddies being given donkey rides reflected in Neil Armstrong's visor. Ain't that right, Arlen?
Man, they defo went to the moon. At least the first one was real, anyway. When they got there, they found the Nazis had already set up a colony there. The CIA had to brainwash them when they got back. That's why Aldrin went bonkers.
That's it. You're clearly all bonkers.
And there we must leave the synths, as Mary playfully hurls a potted plant at Arlen. But don't worry, we'll visit them again soon.
He was like uber confident. I kept thinking I'd seen him somewhere before. Finally came to me when I was watching an NYPD Blue rerun one night. He was the guy who tries to sell Sipovitz so his dirty postcards get smacked around the back of the head with a telephone directory for his troubles. So, yeah. I finally managed to track him down as I realised who he was. And I got an amazing confession from him. I mean, he admitted he's on the books of an agency to supply guys like him to a government institute to act in conspiracy theories. And amazingly, during a drunken conversation, his agent had told him the FBI role was part of an attempt to cover up the shocking truth. Kennedy had been killed by a lone gunman working for himself.
So that's the crux of the big conspiracy, to protect the public from the mundane truth?
It would completely blow the American people's minds to know that the most powerful man in the world could be off by a lone crazy guy. Not a more complex and reassuring explanation. Same with all the other conspiracy theories. They're there to protect us from the fact that the rich and famous can die next, just like anyone else, that we do elect inept and incompetent leaders, and that we did go to the moon, but it's just a boring chunk of rock.
Of course, critics of your theory, other leading conspiracists, have really taken issue with this. I mean, their point is that, yes, this evidence does have a habit of appearing just as you need it, but they just say, well, look, that's just synchronicity. I mean, isn't saying it's all part of some sinister pattern dangerously close to paranoia?
I just don't see why they find it so far-fetched that the ultimate conspiracy is the authorities is to protect us from the fact the world is boring. I mean, what's their explanation, eh? The White House is a TV studio and our supposed leaders are all actors? Right? Democracy, free market politics, all a sham, and we're actually all unwitting participants in a colossal reality TV show run by aliens? I mean, that's just nuts.
Aunt Effie, could I speak to you a minute?
Yes, come in.
Oh.
Did you bring the tea and toast upstairs?
Oh, no, anyhow, it wasn't quite ready.
It does not matter. I need no human sustenance to perform.
Now you get right into bed, before you catch a chill. I'll get the heating pad, too, that'll help.
Wouldn't you prefer me to take you right here, right now, on the floor? I also have no need of heating pads. If you are cold, I can switch on the heating element in my robo penis. I am here to service you, not the other way around. Please undress so that we can begin my heavy foreplay program.
Well, you need someone to look after you.
Negative. Who else will service your need for a good seeing to?
You do? My goodness. Do you know why he didn't get here till now?
I was delayed in San Diego, fulfilling the sexual fantasies of the entire crew of the USS Colorado following its 7-month mission submerged beneath the polar ice cap with no women, sex dolls, or pornography. Some of them had very vivid imaginations, several of my moving parts were worn down by the experience and had to be replaced before I came here. I took the opportunity to fit an enlarged state-of-the-art vibrating head on my main probe.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did know it, but I thought you were going to surprise her with that when she got home.
Unfortunately, it is difficult to conceal.
Well, I could have looked nice for you if you'd let me know you were coming.
Your physical appearance is of no relevance to me. I am a sex machine with no sense of aesthetics. I will have sex with anyone or anything.
Well, look, I'll bring the tea up, Aunt Effie, and the heating pad.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, you said you wanted to speak to me?
Hmm? Oh, well, no. Nothing important. I just wanted to see if everything was all right.
Everything is fine. I have sufficient lubricants and battery power for an all-night session. Or as long as Aunt Effie can take my full-on sex action.
Well, okay, I'll be right back.
Nobody's down here.
Oh, yeah. Bring it up. I didn't say anything to Aunt Effie. There was no need to. By golly, you know what? You're not going to believe this. And he's just basking in all his pampering and attention. He loves it.
What man doesn't?
Well, no real man wants to be spoiled and pampered like
you. You like it?
You certainly do not spoil and pamper me. Not the way that Aunt Effie does.
There are different ways, dear. Who finds your car keys? Who makes sure you keep your Who makes sure you take your vitamins? Who gives you the best, the rarest slice of roast beef? Who closes the window on cold winter morning? Who lets you do the Sunday crossword puzzle?
Oh. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Couple Next Door stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunt.